Hi, it's Don McKellar. Craving some of those Dunkin's donuts. Mm-mm.
Welcome to Dunkin's Donuts here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting to you from traditional unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia in a very rainy Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. On today's show, a very special guest going to arrive by telephone in about 10 minutes. His name is Raymond Biesinger. You may know him from the band The Famines. He's also an acclaimed illustrator. He's a fantastic drawer. He draws real nice. And he has a new compilation series out. Well, it's been out for a little while, called Pentagon Black. So he just dropped the volume 3, and he's going to give us a call to chat all about that, which should be really fun. I met him 17 years ago at a student journalism conference when I worked at the UBC here. And I have very fond memories of that era and of Raymond, so it'll be nice to chat with him again. Also on the show, some new Amber Kaufman, some new Ariel Pink, and previews for a very busy weekend here in Vancouver. Lots of great shows, so tune in for that, or stay tuned for that. Going to start off with a song by Amber Kaufman. She used to be part of Dirty Projectors, no longer, and she has a new record, a solo record out called City of No Reply. We're going to listen to the song No Coffee, which was co-written by Vancouver's Nicholas Kurgovich. Pretty cool. So here is No Coffee from the new album City of No Reply by Amber Kaufman. Scorpio.
don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Do you love the idea of empowering female youth through music creation and performance? Girls Rock Camp Vancouver is a 100% volunteer-driven nonprofit that promotes self-esteem and builds technical skills in female and non-binary youth ages 8 to 18. Help support this initiative by donating, volunteering, or attending their end-of-camp performance July 15th at the Rio Theater. If you're interested in being a camper or volunteering with Girls Rock Camp, visit girlsrockcampvancouver.ca.
Yeah. like a tonic.
All right, so at the top there we heard Amber Kaufman from her new album, City of No Reply. That was the song No Coffee, co-written by local musician Nicholas Kurgovich. After that we heard, we heard Maneater. Maneater, Vancouver band. They've had demos up forever, and they have finally announced their first EP. So it's self-titled, and it's going to be out at the end of July, and if you want to give a listen to that, you can find details online. We heard the song Noise, the first song announced from that. And just now we heard Esther Gray from the Pentagon Black compilation number one. That was the song Fried Blood. And that song is courtesy of our guest, Raymond. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's okay. I'm refreshed from my siesta that I just had.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Where are you calling us from?
I am calling from Montreal, where it's already late afternoon.
Right. And yeah. Some pretty summery there already?
Oh, absolutely. I'm like in my tank top. yeah.
Very siesta absolutely. Weather for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you are calling us today because we wanted to chat, or I always use the royal we when I'm on the radio. It's ridiculous. I wanted to talk to you about a series of compilations that you've put out called Pentagon Black.
Yes.
And so what is Pentagon Black?
Oh, my. We kind of don't even know what it is. A couple of years ago, my bandmate Drew and I, we've been in this game for a long time, playing music at like a super DIY level. And we realized that if we were going to be continuing doing this, we need to do something different. And that just wasn't the usual business. And we formed Pentagon Black to publish music in ways that we hadn't heard of before and to try new things out. And in my regular practice of being an illustrator and artist, I have worked with this wonderful company out of the UK that prints giant newsprint sheets for very cheap, very fast, and very good. And we had an LP to put out, and the record label that we were working out with went out of business. And they were like, oh, we can just turn the keys over to you and you can print this vinyl. And we're just like, no, that sounds so risky and so dangerous. Yeah. And we've seen so many bands just become like martyrs to vinyl because of the expense, the wait times, the postage and all that. So we decided to put the Famine's Too Cool and Other Songs LP out as a 20 by 30 inch newsprint sheet of paper with a download code on the back.
Right.
And it went really well. I mean, in a day and age where no one buys anything anymore, no one really buys records.
Mm-hmm.
Like the low risk, low expense approach to putting this thing out really paid off well. When it did sell, it was fantastic for us. And just like, again, I'm using the word risk an awful lot, but it just made being a musician kind of easy. So eventually we were arguing about doing a split poster with another band, and Drew and I were almost at fisticuffs over this. And then we realized, oh, we can just do like a 24 band split, because it's a download.
It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. So we went through the Famine's Rolodex, because we've toured Canada a million times, pretty much,
mm-hmm.
and came up with a list of all of our favorite bands and good people who are real DIY, like scene-building folks, and stitched them together into Pentagon Black Compilation Number 1. So that's kind of the early genesis of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Should I keep going?
No, that's fine. And so that was last year that you put that up?
That was, yeah, March 2016.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. And you've done two since then.
Yeah, absolutely. That one was incredible. Part of the wonderful part, like the wonderfulness of the paper compilation is it's incredibly cheap to mail them around to bands as well. It costs something like $5 to send 12 copies anywhere in Canada. So we did a run of like 700 and mailed them all to the 24 bands that contributed, who all then distributed and sold them. And it just spread like wildfire. So we decided to follow it up with number two a year later. And we kind of went further from the Famine's like list of usual suspects. Like there's people on compilation two that we had never, ever even heard of.
Mm-hmm.
That went really well. And we kind of did some alternative ways of dealing with like the media with it. We just gave like one French, one English news source exclusivity. Instead of chasing around a million different music directors and DJs and all this. And that was cool. And then at the end of when we were touring Pentagon Black Compilation Number 2, Drew and I just had this ridiculous idea where it's like, what if we strip this down so much and make this so accessible? And I mean, every band records their jams with their phones, and I'm sure every single one of them is like, this sounds good, can we release this?
Mm-hmm.
And as an individual band, that might seem like going out on too much of a limb, but we thought, oh, let's ask every Pentagon Black contributor to record a brand new song with their phones, like dirty DIY, like lo-fi style, and then we're going to put it out as an edition of 500 postcards that bands can just do whatever they want with. And honestly, this last compilation came together in 4 weeks. From like sending out the call for tracks and getting the printed results back.
Incredible.
Which is, yeah, it's just so fast. It is. And the entire budget for the whole thing was something like not counting art, it was like $180.
Yeah.
And more people have heard of this than like the other compilations already.
Right.
Yeah, so we're just really interested in trying different ways of avoiding the music industry, and it works very well, I think.
Well, yeah, you see bands, I mean, especially here in Vancouver, most bands are putting out tapes now because records have become just such a pain to try and get pressed. It takes 6 months at least, and then there's the expense of getting it shipped around, and it's, mm-hmm. I love records, but it's from a band perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And and then even cassettes, I mean, I think you kind of accomplished the same thing with a beautiful poster and the MP3s. Mm-hmm.
And it's recyclable, too. Like, it's a record bomb.
Yeah.
It isn't a landfill problem.
You can just line your bird cages with it. It's perfect.
Yeah, totally, totally. And, yeah, the whole, like, the vinyl thing, I know it's attractive for a certain generation of musician, but honestly, the vast majority of musicians have been priced out by the likes of, like, the White Stripes and Bob Dylan reissues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Early on, we were thinking of, like, this process is like format gentrification in a way. It's like, we can't afford that neighborhood. Where the hell do we go? And it turns out that, you know, print like how many idle newsprint presses are there in the world who are like desperate for any kind of business? Like they're willing to talk with scuzzy artists like us for once.
Yeah. How do you limit yourself? I mean, I guess you're with the Postcard and Number Three, you're sort of pushing the boundaries of what you've even considered. But like, how do you even wrap your brain around when you're suddenly freed from all these restraints?
Oh, it just like it kind of makes being a musician nice again. I mean, I'm 38. I got some wrinkles and stuff, and I've got a kid. And I know that if we were playing the same old game and like doing the constant, let's fly to South by Southwest and put it on the Visa, or like let's pay $4,000 for, you know, 300 records that no one's going to buy, like it would just be impossible for me to justify that. Likewise, I see bands all over the place that just can't tour like they used to, and just not having like the weight of like meeting convention. Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense? It's just very freeing, and it just allows us to do a lot of things that I think other labels can't do. Like, we don't care or want grants. We don't there's a lot of stuff that we don't have to care about because of this approach, and it's really freeing. And it's kind of like very people power too. I think we'll most likely release way more compilations than anything else. And just that beautiful, like, band supporting bands and spreading word about bands that they like and are, like, that just feels really good compared to, like, hiring a publicist and going into debt and being, like, subject to the whims of Factor and that kind of thing.
Yeah. How's your Sonic Bids page looking these days?
It doesn't exist and it never will.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, totally. Like Pentagon Black doesn't even have a website. That's one of my favorite things about the label.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't matter. Like, the label itself should be this invisible shell that groups together a bunch of other things. It doesn't need to have an identity in itself. I mean, theoretically, it is the Famines plus a collective of other Canadian musicians who, you know, on the compilations, everyone did chip in a very small fee to, like, print the thing and, like, again, distribute the risk equally. So that's kind of, Pentagon Black, is it a label? Is it a collective? Is it Drew and I's fantasies playing out? It's kind of hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Cool. And speaking of the Famines, what's going on with you two?
Well, Drew and I are, like, constantly sucked into what we refer to as arts admin projects like this. It often feels like the Famines are taking a back seat. Like, we just had a dumb discussion where we were like, we should make the Pentagon Black Prize. And then we're like, hold on. We want to be a band. But I think we're going to reissue our collected singles from 2008 to 2012 as a poster. And then we are going to do a second collected singles paper LP that'll be everything we've released as a single since 2013. Plus, we're sculpting an 18-minute long, like, tonal experiment jam, which is not a place we've ever been before. Usually, we're like 2-minute damaged garage noise songs. So that's been interesting. Once that's out, then that'll clear the decks for us to do another full length. We've got a couple songs written on that already. Other stuff, again, like in the realm of mixing it up, that Esther Gray track you just played, the singer Steph Yates, we're trying to convince her to sing instead of me on a tour in the future, really mixing it up. Like and we've toyed with the idea of putting out other bands' music as well, but I don't know, the collectiveness and like the power of the compilation is something that we were really excited about, and and it's kind of easy in a way.
Mm-hmm.
At least easy to spread word about is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And what about Montreal these days? What's got you excited about Montreal?
Oh, the parks.
Well, that's true.
Music-wise, I don't know. There's some really great bands here, like Couleur de Sang, which is the first track on this record. All kinds of stuff going on around Drones Club over here, which is this soon to be closed down illegal space. They're done by the end of the summer, I think. That's exciting. But the strange thing about putting out a whole bunch of like national compilations and always being a touring band is although I've lived here for 8 years and drew here for a similar amount of time, we don't feel incredibly in touch with what's going on here. Mm-hmm. It's almost like we're a national band, or our activities are more national than like civic, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's, I mean, it's a big, vast country, but when it gets down to things like music scenes and DIY-minded musicians, it becomes very small, and you get to form a community across the whole country, potentially.
Yeah, yeah, we had, and that's such an important thing. Like, we had an epiphany a couple of years ago where we were touring and we're thinking, oh, this, you know, these shows are being really consistent and good to us. Why is that? And we're like, we haven't released anything in a long time. Oh, it's got nothing to do with us, and it has everything to do with the people who are putting on the shows in the towns we're playing. And typically these days, that isn't the promoter. That's like other bands.
Mm-hmm.
And so like that is almost like if you're playing Peterborough, it doesn't matter what venue you're playing. It doesn't matter what promoter you're talking to. What matters is the Lonely Parade is on that bill and pushing for you.
Hmm.
And so like these connections of different bands are like super important if your intent is to play outside of your home city.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, anything else you'd like to add? We're going to listen to a couple tracks.
Right on. No, I'm happy with what I've said, and I think I probably said too much.
No, not at all. Well,
right on, Duncan.
Thanks so much, Raymond. And so people want to check out the compilations, they can go to thefamines.bandcamp.com. And hopefully some of these bands will make it to the West Coast and we can buy the posters in person.
Yeah, you guys are so far away.
Those get rid of the damn Rockies.
If we just get rid of the prairies and get rid of the shield, wait, I think I just doomed millions of people.
Yeah, don't do that.
it has been unfortunate. Like, we haven't managed to get a Vancouver or Victoria band on the series yet. And we see that as a real problem, and we want to fix that.
All right, well, I'm going to hold you to that.
Right on.
Yeah, no, there's amazing bands out here. So you've got a whole new scene, a couple of scenes to add to the Pentagon Black family.
Well, I cannot wait to do so, and I'm sure Drew can't wait as well.
All right. Thanks so much, Raymond. So we're going to hear Sweet Dave and the Shallow Graves. Where are they from?
Yeah. They are from Hamilton, and they are an incredible band. Have you ever heard of a group called TV Freaks from Hamilton?
I don't. Were they associated with Blocks? I'm thinking of someone else.
But they blew up and formed like 9 other bands, but okay. Sweet Dave is like this 7 band, like, oh, I'm going to screw up, like goth, rock, electric, purple flare kind of band.
Okay.
And like they're just too big. Like, there's just so many people in the band, and they're just, I think, too good for this world. And I don't think it's hard being a band that's like 7-8 people and you're getting paid $100 a night. So get them while you can, I think.
Okay. Understood. All right. Let's give a listen to that. And you have yourself a great afternoon, Raymond. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. My pleasure, Duncan. You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, Raymond, are you still there?
It was a bad. It was a bad. It was a bad. What kind of year was it?
It was a bad year.
What kind of year was it?
It was a bad year.
It was a bad year.
What kind of year was it?
It was a
All right, that was Couleur de Saint from Montreal, from the Pentagon Black compilation number 3, recorded on a phone. How about that? That was the song Oiseau Souterrain, underground bird, subterranean bird. And you can buy that, I believe, online. Go to famines.bandcamp.com, and you can also order a postcard, and then the download code's on that. Very cool. Thanks to Raymond Biesinger for giving us a call. He didn't talk about it too much, but he is an amazing illustrator. You should definitely check out his work online. He's been featured in the New York Times and The Walrus and lots of other places. So definitely worth checking out. And thanks for the call. Before that, we heard Sweet Dave and the Shallow Graves. Not my mom's favorite. She texted me, "Nice hearing you, but not so much the music." That's okay. Lots of different types of music here on Dunkin' Donuts. That was from Pentagon Black compilation number 2, the song Bad Year. And thanks again. Let's move on to a show happening tonight. Marbled Eye is in town. They are from Oakland, California, and they're going to be playing at Redgate tonight, along with Tough Customer. So let's give a listen to a song from their EP. The song is called Dirt. This is Marbled Eye. We'll be right back.
What if this summer you did something different? What if you worked with people you admired in a city that inspired you, making something that you were proud of? The Media Institute for Social Change is looking for students like you to be a part of their summer documentary program in Portland, Oregon. As a student, you'll create original audio and video pieces about issues that you care about. You'll meet and learn from media professionals whose work is aimed at social justice. You'll immerse yourself in Portland, a city that will serve as your hands-on media-making laboratory. Sound like your type of summer? Apply today at MediaMakingChange.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday.
From 1 to 3 p.m.
Who is this guy? Does he have a name? Does anybody know where he's from?
From parts unknown.
My name's Chris Horrific.
You always wanted his character to be bigger than life.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is without question, the greatest sports and entertainment event of all time. Be a part of it Monday
from 1 to 3 p.m.
The Parts Unknown Show on 101.9 CITR. Sometimes cosmoses collide.
Break your fingers. and survived. You're living hell. You put me through the ringer and you buried me in your yard. You said that you could love me. But I knew you couldn't, 'cause you were just too hard.
All right, that was Alan Forrester from his, with his new single, The Book and the Gun. That will be tonight. He's releasing that into the world at Lanaloo's tonight from 8 till midnight, playing along with James Green and Tim the Mute. Alan, you may know from the band Stork and formerly of the Nastion, so look out for that. Before that, we heard Cult Babies from the cassette Off to See the Lizard. That was the song Conspiracy Dog. They're going to be playing tonight at the Lido, opening for Supermoon, who are going on a mini tour to Sled Island and back. I love Cult Babies, and this will be their second show since kind of... not reuniting, but like getting back on their feet after a year-long hiatus. Before that, we heard Tough Customer with the song Connor about the guy from Whitney K. That was from Mint's compilation called Quarter Life Crisis, released last year on their 25th anniversary. And at the top, we heard Marbled Eye from their EP. That was the song Dirt. Marbled Eye and Tough Customer playing tonight with Bored Decor at Redgate. Very busy night here in Vancouver. Tomorrow night, there are a bunch of shows happening as well. Cruel Sport and Nice Apple are putting out a cassette. They're playing at a place called Chom's, which is definitely an ask around situation. You can message them on Facebook to find out where that is, along with the band Nice, Human Loser and Fake Fruit. Also, Kimmortal is having an art show and performances. That's worth checking out as well. And Sightlines are going to be doing a tour kickoff with Sharky and a brand new band called Deals. Deals features Brent, who used to be in the band Tyrannahorse, former Shindig finalists. So we're going to give a listen to them. This is their song, Sad. This is a brand new band called Deals.
Start to miss her, but things keep moving on. Somebody
All right, that was Deals from a self-titled EP. That was the song Sad, and they'll be playing tonight at, or tomorrow night at the Astoria. I ran out of time. That hour flew by. I had lots of other stuff I wanted to play, but there we are. I'm going to close out with a band called Nice Apple. They have a new cassette coming out. They're releasing it tomorrow, along with Cruel Sport, and we'll listen to more of that next week. Yeah, but for tonight or for today, we're going to listen to this song by Nice Apple. It's called That, That, That. Here we go. That's it for this episode. Stay tuned for Caden and the K-Pop Cafe, and I will see you next Thursday.